This is the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and hitting subscribe on your friend's phone without them knowing. Coming to you from the fire escape behind the kitchen studios in downtown Raleigh. This episode is sponsored in part by Blue Shark Vodka. All the taste without the bite. Blue Shark Vodka, coming out of Wilmington, North Carolina. And by Spot On, tech that helps your business grow. And Joe Van Gogh Coffee. And now, exhausted from their one-hour work week, it's Max Trujillo and Matthew Weiss.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. I am your co-host, Max Trujillo.
And I am your co-host, Matthew Weiss, and we are in the lovely kitchen studios today, but I want you to imagine, if you can, being in downtown Holly Springs. That's right, the revitalized downtown Holly Springs, in an old, remodeled, 100-plus-year-old house called the Pimento Tea Room. And to help us envision that and take us there are the owners of that. And that is Christy and Matt Griffith. Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
Thank you.
How's it going? Yeah, welcome to the show. Fantastic having you in here. We're like almost completely remodeled into the studio. We'll get into that later, but we're changing the vibe around in here. It's kind of nice and cozy. But yeah, Matt brought the Pimento Tea Room to my attention. When I heard the name, I'm like, wait, what? Pimento Tea Room? What is that? And he's like, oh, it's in Holly Springs. I'm like, what is it all about? And so we had this fun conversation about it. So now I know a little bit more. But for our audience, I got to know, it starts with the name. I got to know, you opened a place called the Pimento Tea Room. Please explain yourself.
Well, I'll start by saying the question, what is it all about? Maybe you can help us discover and define that.
Oh, yeah, we'll tease it out of you.
That's one of the toughest questions to answer.
We had no elevator pitch.
So the tea room as a concept was developed over many, many years. The name Pimento came to us standing in line for, I think, the Avalanche ride at King's Dominion a few summers ago.
Oh, really?
We were just trying to figure out what's something that...
conveys southernness.
Yeah?
Yes. Pimento is not your mama's tea room. A lot of people assume that we are a traditional English-style tea room, you know, fancy china, pinkies up, all that kind of stuff, and we are not. So we wanted to start with the name just to plant a seed that we're something different.
Yeah. So a tea room, like in general, a tea room, yeah, as you mentioned, it feels very British and afternoon tea, small sandwiches and all. So what is... Connect us to the vibe of the place so that people can understand. For one, you're in Holly Springs, which is Matt's neck of the woods over there, and that's a growing area, like, exponentially right now. There's so much going on. But kind of, like, walk us into the vibe so we understand, like, why would we go to the Pimento Tea Room?
Well, we do offer small tea sandwiches, but they are not like anyone's expecting. Traditionally, people are serving cucumber sandwiches on... thin white bread with the crust cut off.
Yeah.
We serve # messy sandwiches on house-made focaccia. They are hearty. They are very messy. We serve them with fork and knife. And
yeah, I work out front. I love telling people when I drop a plate off, chef says if you don't need a fork to finish your sandwich, then it wasn't made correctly.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So instead of cucumber and watercress, we're more fried bologna and pimento cheese.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
So even before, like, take it back even more before the food, why did you get this house that you renovated? What was it before, and why did you decide to take on that project? Because before you even opening up a restaurant and running a successful restaurant is hard enough, but why the whole remod?
We just decided our very first project was going to be the most expensive, most difficult thing we could ever do in our lives.
Exactly. Why wouldn't it be?
We literally had that discussion about 4 years ago. That's right. Once we got in the mindset that we were ready to take on a restaurant, which started with me sitting at work. Spent many years working in RTP as an engineer, and I got an email from Christy one day. She said, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm ready to open a restaurant.
So, what was going on with you that day that you're like, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm ready to open it.
Just got a hair up my ass. Let's do it.
It's just, that's it.
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you have any formal training as to why you should be qualified to open up a restaurant?
No, I shouldn't be doing this.
That's good. So what were you currently doing at that moment when for work, or what were you doing?
I believe I was working at Mama Bird's in Holly Springs. It's a fabulous homemade ice cream shop.
Yeah, it is
and
great.
I helped them open that up and, you know, learned a lot what to do, what not to do, while helping them get that off the ground in the beginning.
I think they actually were clients of the kitchen here. They came in. I think the logos were made by MRC, one of the companies here. So there's a connection to Mama Bird's.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job. That was a really nice rebranding.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I you know, just to interject, I think it was even before she was at Mama Bird's, because I remember us really not knowing what we were doing, and then an opportunity to join the Mama Bird's team and help them open their first brick and mortar came along after we had decided to do this, and we're like, what a great way to get started and learn. I could be completely wrong.
No, you're right. You have a much better memory. Time does not exist where I live right now.
Yeah. Well, speaking of where you live, and I want to get more into it, but one of the things that you guys do really well and very cool is cocktails. And I had emailed John the other day, because when you hear this, the Blue Shark Cocktail Week would have happened, and
oh, it was a fantastic week.
It was a fantastic Blue Shark Week. So, Blue Shark Vodka.
Yeah. Well,
tell us about it, Max.
Since you just mentioned it, and I just happened to have this copy written right in front of me. Oh, it's Blue Shark Vodka, the world's smoothest, made with non-GMO heirloom variety North Carolina sweet corn, which is then distilled four times into perfection. The small batch process is a labor of love, of course, but after distilling four times, the mash mellows for 28 days, allowing flavors to fully bloom and awaken. Finally, each batch is then triple filtered, giving the vodka a smooth, clean finish and making the alcohol bite nearly vanish. So, this has earned Blue Shark Vodka's clever nickname, the shark that doesn't bite. Get it, people? So, go to BlueSharkVodka.com for more information. Check the show notes that we have here as well. And get yourself a cocktail.
Yeah. And you can get it at the Pimento Tea Room. And, you know, on this podcast, we talk to all kinds of restaurateurs. And some of them are making innovative new tacos. Others are talking about perfecting the classic brisket or the perfect pimento tea sandwich. But they're all working to turn that love of food into a business. And then that's often the bigger challenge, and our newest sponsor is here to help. Spot On works with popular local restaurants like the Ruddy Duck Tavern and the Village Market in Eastern North Carolina, getting them set up with the technology they need to stay competitive in this industry. It's the kind of tech that the chain down the street is already using, but it's made specifically for you, like a cloud-based point-of-sale system that not only takes orders and payments, but also ties in online ordering for takeout and delivery. Then it breaks down all of that data so you can break it and tweak your menu or set your staff schedule. From fine dining to food trucks, Spot On's integrated restaurant management system can help make a restaurant run successfully, less stressfully, and just be all around fantastic. And you can get this end-to-end solution built specifically for your needs by a real person, Tanya Manibo. She's your local Spot On account executive, and she'll be your partner the whole way. Give her a call, 858-213-7620, or email her, TanyaM@SpotOn.com.
Alrighty. Well, now we got a little business taken care of. We've set the table so that we can continue this conversation about the tea room. I just like the idea that you're calling it a tea room, rather than saying just like a lunch spot or a restaurant or whatever. So what was the intention of that versus just say calling it a cafe or a restaurant? Why are we calling it a tea room?
So it's a good question. I think we'll both have things to say here, but there are similarities between our place and even a traditional tea room. Christy already mentioned the sandwiches aren't two-handers. They're one-handers, right? But you get multiple on a plate when you order. We have a nice selection of teas, which is kind of a unique beverage offering, and the community has really, really loved it and supported it. I'm actually kind of blown away by how much tea we've sold, but it's an important aspect of the offering there. and other bits. When you look at even traditional tea service, it might be served on tiered trays, but there's tea sandwiches, there's little savory bites, there's pétiffors, and we've got menu items similar to that all throughout for lunch and dinner.
Yeah, so you are open lunch and dinner. You're open all day.
We are, and we're kind of like two different restaurants.
Yeah, it's funny because the lunch, it is the small sandwiches, savories, salads, and soups, that kind of thing. And one segment of our community really frequents that in large majority. And then at dinner time, we dim the lights. We got fully plated dinners, entrees to go along with some of the other menu items. Those cocktails you mentioned have been really popular.
They're popular at lunch too. I mean, I hear at 11 a.m. that cocktail shaker is going.
That's true. Yeah. We laugh every week. Tuesday, 11 a.m., he's starting to shake cocktails behind that bar. Yeah.
Hey, listen, people need their cocktails, especially in a pandemic world. You need a little bit of a respite. But the cool thing that I think in every one of your signature cocktails, you're using a tea base with the spirit. Is that right?
Yes, we steep tea in all of our spirits.
Ooh. So yeah. You're going up as you're going down.
Yeah.
That's right. It keeps people balanced, helps them get another round in, maybe. It's a hidden version of a vodka Red Bull, right? Keep you going.
I was
going
to say, it's like the sophisticated vodka Red Bull.
It's the tea room vodka Red Bull.
Yeah.
But I tell you that, even the origin story on that, right? We figured if we're going to have signature cocktails, let's use tea. It turns out tea doesn't work great as a mixer. It's a more delicate flavor. It dilutes things a little too much. And Christy, one of her many, many brilliant ideas was, why don't we steep the tea directly in the liquor to add flavor and then make cocktails from that? And it's worked out brilliantly, and we're having a lot of fun. I mean, we've got a great lineup right now, but as with everything in our restaurant, it'll rotate seasonally, weekly, sometimes daily.
So, you guys are gluttons for punishment. You even change the menu weekly, right?
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. I was actually counting on the drive up here. About 40% of our menu rotates every week.
Okay.
And it's not like the background 40%. It's the main courses. It's those sandwiches, right? You come in one week, there's three new sandwiches that she's created. Suppers, right? Our main courses for dinner. Three brand new plated dinners every week. And then other items, a salad, a soup, different sweets coming through.
And so how often are you getting the guest that comes in with it? But I love that sandwich. Why'd you take it off? Can you make it again or put it back on? Like, what, and how often does that happen? And then what do you do?
I hear that weekly, but fortunately some of the feedback we get is don't worry about what's going to be on the menu. You know, you're going to love it. Some of the smaller picky eaters, I've heard them tell their friends, don't read the ingredients. You're not going to know what they are, but just get it. It's going to be good.
Don't think so hard. Just eat.
Yeah. And then we've got regulars buy menu item. We'll have a meatloaf sandwich on occasionally. Now, it's different from time to time. It's going to be a different meatloaf recipe or a different set of toppings and sauces. But I've got regulars that I know are going to be in every week when the meatloaf is on.
Yeah. Okay.
So I see them, every once in a while.
Okay.
So how long have you been open?
We opened in December for takeout.
Yeah. Okay. December 18th, we started takeout. We got our indoors open in mid-January. And it's the reason I kind of have these dates in mind is because once we finished, we started construction before the pandemic. We finished up in November, and then we had bills to pay. So we said, how do you open a restaurant in a pandemic? And there was no grand opening at all. We literally hired one employee. We had two soups, two salads, and a bunch of takeout bags. And that's how we started on that December 18th.
We called it our super soft opening, S-O-U-P-E-R.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And Dad that jokes. Other employee was my best friend who moved down from Maryland to help me. Like, she uprooted her life, came down here.
Wow.
She's all in. Yeah.
That's a good friend.
She's a great friend. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, me and the kids, we are religious to watching Bob's Burgers. We started the very first episode, and we've been going through. We're already on, like, season 14. So, like, we've watched a lot of Bob's Burgers. But I do, thinking about changing your menu every week reminds me of a particular episode where Bob was feeling a lot of stress, and he needed to go to, like, had like a Brazilian capoeira guy like realigning his chakras. And he's like, you are aware that all of your stress comes from this weekly burger that you create, or the burger of the day. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, maybe if you just didn't do it, you'd feel so much better. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to do it. And for like 5 days, he didn't do it. And he was like the most at peace. But then like life was going in chaos. And he finally realized that the thing that really centered him was creating new sandwiches every week. So maybe this is therapeutic. Like, why did you decide to put yourself behind the eight ball like this and have a new menu item, new menu items every week?
A variety of reasons. I just have too many things that I want to do, and our kitchen isn't big enough to do all of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And I get bored really easy, and sometimes I create things that are a bitch to plate, and I know, like, oh man, on Tuesday night when we debut it, I'm like, well, at least I only have 5 more nights that I have to do this.
You've already seen the end. Like, this is how we get out of this thing. I like it.
I want to know, Matt, this is a question for you. Allow me to be your marriage counselor for a second. How many times do that question comes up and you want to throw Christy under the bus and you're just like, well, she just gets bored easily. So this is why we have the new damn sandwich on the menu.
I use those exact words just with a smile on my face.
And he puts, I feel at the beginning of it. Right? Yeah. And I feel like she's doing this craziness with this menu.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I love it. And I love the fact that it's been so well received. I mean, we've continued to grow every month. The people that are our fans enjoy coming in and seeing what we're doing that week. It's certainly not a completely unique concept for a restaurant to change the menu frequently, but it is somewhat unique, and it poses challenges that maybe somebody who had more experience in the restaurant industry would think, I don't want to try to solve those challenges.
Right.
But us coming in a little cold, we've just figured out how to deal with it.
Right? Yeah.
It's kind of a beautiful thing that you're doing. Like, I was thinking, like, just in general, people that open restaurants, I thought that after the pandemic, and I know we're still kind of now back in it again, so, but whatever, after 2020, when many restaurants shut down, the thought, at least, that I heard from many people in the industry was like, well, that's gonna get rid of all the non-hardcore restaurateurs and all, and it's gonna weed them out. The only ones that will like survive or exist will be one like people that are actually in the business. And I've actually kind of observed the opposite. If you've listened to some of our recent episodes where we had these pop-up food purveyors, the Winner Ramen Dinner, 919 Secret Sauce, and 12 Paws Ice Cream, these were not like restaurateurs. I think, you know, Jackie was a server and she's now making ramen. Sean has always like made pizza, and I think does make pizza at a pizzeria. So like, it's not like they're alien to the whole thing, but this wasn't like what they wanted or what they set out to do, but they found opportunity. And I find that like, that's kind of the new narrative, is like, people are just saying, oh, I could do this. I think I could figure out how to open up a restaurant even without a ton of years of experience. So maybe that's a refreshing thing. I mean, you said yourself, so Matt, you're the front of the house. So you're the one that's got to like have the smile on your face and do the dance all day long. Like, what qualifies you to be able to do this and be the one that runs the business, the front of the house?
Well, I think I've got an okay smile. For starters, right?
It's a very charming smile.
Yeah, yeah.
It's masked right now, though, at the restaurant.
That's right. Unfortunately, I can't show off.
I smile with your eyes.
Yeah, smizing. Yeah.
The you know, I tell you, you know, you asked the question about me maybe getting frustrated with the changing menu. Christy probably gets frustrated with me because I'm such a natural people pleaser, and I like to avoid confrontation. I just want to make people happy, right?
That kind of key to being front of the house is
it's an important sort of mental torture to go through in trying to keep, you know, hundreds of people a week as happy as possible.
You are a people pleaser, but you do a good job. He's very good at what he does in the front. And there's a reason I'm in the back, because I am not a people pleaser. I run our Instagram page. So if you see me call out people who leave us like silly reviews.
Oh, nice.
That's me. Being spiteful.
You throw doubt on them. Yeah, why not?
Get engaged.
I always wondered that. Like, what would you do, Matt, with, if you ran a restaurant, would you respond to every review that came out? Like, I know friends that run restaurants and respond 100% of the reviews, good or bad. They were like, either thank you or noted, we'll make the adjustments. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, it's a very obviously personal question and how you would. But for me personally, just knowing how I am, I would just have to avoid it at all costs. Otherwise, I think I would get pretty shitty.
I'm kind of in that boat. I mean, you know, Crafton's going to be opening up soon, and we've hired my wife's company, Food Scene, to do our social media because she knows me better than anybody. Maybe Matt knows me pretty well, too. But I'm like, I'd rather just have like a voice that is our voice, that, and that's what they're really good. It's not a commercial for Food Scene, but they, you know, it's like that's what they're good at, is like they hear what we have to say and then they speak in our voice. Because I think if I was the one that like responded to negative criticism or positive, either way, I like to have fun. I like to throw jokes around. And that doesn't seem to work very well.
Not in on the social airways, no.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, famously, almost famous just because you and I have said this one time, but I remember at Cafe Del Rey, which is the restaurant that Matt and I both worked at, it's where we met. We failed to this woman one time, like, so bad. We got her order wrong. It didn't get timed with everybody else's food. Then, like, we had to redo it, and it came back wrong again. And I think somebody spilled wine on her table. Like, it was a bad experience. And this woman was so mad at me, and I remember I just said, well, good part is you're going to be hungry again, and you get to do this all over again. She's just like, the nerve. And I said, look, I'm kind of done apologizing. Like, we messed up a bunch of times and we couldn't get out of our own way. And now at this point, all I can do is just say, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to take care of your tab. You're not paying for it. But she was still like, but I can't believe in blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to eat again. This isn't the last meal you ever have. And she just, like, I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, this is probably why I should walk away right now before I say anything worse than that. I guess if a manager said that to me, I'd get pissed.
Yeah. But at some point, it's just like, what do you want? I've apologized. I've comped your meal. Yeah. Like, do you want me to go and go to your home and cook you the meal? Like, there's only so much you can do.
Well, that actually is something that I haven't thought to offer. I might keep that one in my back pocket. Because
would you like me to come to your house?
You know, you do. You got, like I said, hundreds, some places have thousands of people a week that you're trying to keep happy. And the thing about, I compare hospitality to my former career, reliability and mm-hmm. engineering, right? You can have the most reliable product in the world, but that reliability is 97%. That means 3 out of 100 people are going to have a rough time with your product. And to those 3 people, you've got the shittiest product in the world.
Yep.
And how do you treat that customer, or now in hospitality, our guests in our literal house, to make sure they know that even though we've screwed up, or you know, we haven't met expectations, how do they know that they're still important to us, and we did not want that experience for them, and we hope that they will give us another chance.
Right.
Even like you said, sometimes there's just this pile up of accidents that happen for that one person, and you're like, how did we miss all these things for one guest?
Those are the best. You just can't get out of your own way. It's like, you just keep going. Do you respond to all of on social media? Do you respond to all the posts?
No, we don't. Most people really like us.
And you have to make a decision, I think, to answer the question you threw to other Matt. Either you're going to respond to all of them or to none of them. And it's not that we don't appreciate the fans and the good reviews. It's just that you have to kind of establish, are we going to respond or not? And so we've decided not to respond. What Christy mentioned earlier is screenshotting and sharing on our own social media.
Right.
Right.
That can be delicate right now. This is I've been watching a lot of people out there, like the whole, not to get all political, but like the masks mandate is now becoming a big deal. And then the prove you're vaccinated thing is also a big deal. And it's polarizing the way restaurateurs are making a stance. Many previous guests of the show I've watched, you know, they said, hey, everybody, out of safety and what the CDC is saying, we're now going to have to ask everyone prove that you have been vaccinated and you must wear a mask inside, to which I've seen a lot of comments. And people are like, bro, you don't know me and all that. The only point that I could like see as a good, valid thing to challenge that is like, if you did already have COVID, like if you yourself had it and now you have the antibodies and you're not whatever, that like you're like, I don't need to get vaccinated, so why do I have to prove to you like I went through this? So then I think like it's a big catch-all that sometimes doesn't catch it all, and mm-hmm. now it's a polarizing thing. I don't know, let's say you guys.
Yeah,
well we I'm not qualified to work at the CDC, but I trust what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go online and look up your county and see what they're recommending. And we are just going to continue to follow their guidance. Mm-hmm. So when you come visit Pimento, there's a sign at the door that says, regardless of vaccination status, please wear a mask when you're not seated at your table.
Yeah.
And that's just the best we can do.
Yeah. I have my own beliefs about it, but there was Pizzeria Mercado, who's a former guest of the show, and Gabe Barker's birthday a couple days ago. Happy birthday, Gabe.
Happy birthday, Gabe.
They decided to mandate that you're vaccinated to be in the restaurant. And that's their choice. I support it. And I can see the views of people that don't want to get vaccinated. But somebody on there who has like 59,000 followers on Instagram commented that, said, oh, should we all wear yellow Jewish stars now as well? And I just wrote, as a proud Jewish person, I don't see the connection between Nazi Germany and a fascist government and asking people to protect our, because this is what we feel protect our health and safety. And so it went down a little bit of a rabbit hole. And then I noticed Mercado after just stopped comments on it. But yeah, I think that I understand that people have their opinion, but let's not equate this to Nazi Germany is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does take a quick leap real fast into the next thing.
Yeah.
But also I will say history has never been kind to scenarios where you had to be like divided or sectioned out for like all of you that belong to this thing or have taken this antidote or vaccine go here, and then those that don't go there. I've never really seen a scenario where that worked out real well. So I'm just, that's my counterpoint to that, is I could see a lot of people just kind of like, because it's not just are you vaccinated or if you're not vaccinated. The vaccine was to help you not get it, but not get super sick from getting it. But Dave Weidman, one of the best friends, he got it. He's vaccinated. He says right now it's the worst sickness he's ever had. And he's like, I feel so bad right now. I can barely walk. I can barely do anything. And he's like a strapping dude. Like he's a big guy. And he's like, it has put me on my ass. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the other, you know, reason for the vaccine is if enough people get it to slow the spread.
Right.
It's the theory, right? And so that's why we're back to masking, right? Because we have to try some other measures to keep the spread slow since there's not enough vaccinated.
Well, let's switch the topic a little bit here. I know you guys like tea, but there's this other thing that can be brewed that comes from beans, and you grind them down and you put them with hot water and sometimes with the filter. It's what us Americans love to drink, not this posh, you know, English tea room style. I'm talking about coffee. I'm talking about Joe Van Gogh coffee specifically. Thank you, Matt, for that ASMR right there. But if you would be so kind, I don't know, do you guys drink coffee? Is this rude to give tea people coffee?
I love coffee.
All right, that's what I hear.
I'm not a connoisseur, but I drink it every day.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
The one that we're drinking right now is the Ethiopian blend from Guji, Ethiopia, which is in the East African area, in East Africa. But this one has these great little flavor notes of plum, black tea, honey, tangelo. I got my word usage of tangelo taken care of for today. I like to mix a tangelo into everything I say once a day.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I think Dale Cooper would approve.
Wow.
Like, this is delicious coffee. Yeah,
this is fantastic coffee with all sorts of delicacies, like you said. But thanks to Joe Van Gogh Coffee for keeping us caffeinated during these podcasts.
Yeah, go to joevangocoffee.com. Check out their locations all through Hillsboro, Durham, Raleigh, and all the places they support, like around the corner over here at Sir Walter Raleigh Coffee. So joevangocoffee.com. There we go.
Taking care of a home is stressful. With so many vendors to find and manage, from plumbers to handymen to house cleaners, it's impossible to get consistently high-quality service. Enter Exhale, the only trusted partner homeowners need to maintain, clean, fix, and improve their homes. You'll have a dedicated home manager with one number to call for everything, and we guarantee our service. If it's not done right, we'll make it right. Visit exhaleathome.com to learn more and book a consultation. We'll take it from here.
So I want to get back into your guys' story because, again, I'm still thinking like, okay, we decided to buy this house and remodel it and do a restaurant. We're going to change up the things every week and we're going to get in there and mix it up with the guests. No, seriously. So before Mama Birds, what were you doing?
before Mama Birds, I was at home with our kids, and we were...
Oh, yeah, on top of everything, you have three kids, right?
Yeah.
Three kids, and you're running a restaurant?
Yeah, well, they run it with us.
They're basically the Bob's Burger kids.
They are the A-team.
What other ages?
Eve is our youngest. She'll be 14 in October.
Oh, okay.
Daniel is 15, and Natalie is 16.
Oh, so you've got, like, real employees. Like, you can put them to work.
Legally, yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I know my daughters are 8 and 11, and they desperately want to work at Crafton when we get it open. And I'm like, a couple more years, and then I'll really put you to work. And your friends, too. Like, all of them. Like, this will be my new crop of talent over here.
I'll tell you what. They are our number one employees. They are fantastic. Eve... hosts. Oh, she's great back in the kitchen as well. She can kind of do everything all over the restaurant. But we were trying to decide who was going to serve as host. And Natalie is super tall. She's always looked so much older than she is. Eve still looks like a little girl. So Matt thought that less people would be mean to Eve if she was out front because she looks like a little kid. Because we do have really long waits. We don't take reservations.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have really, really long waits. We're getting better at getting people moving. It. But we do have lines and everything. And
I like no reservations. I think that's the way people should run restaurants. That's my opinion.
It's just like, do you respond to comments or not? You got to make the decision.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're all in or you're all out.
I always think the most important person is the person in front of you. You know, like I always can't stand when I walk up to a place, the phone's ringing, and I want to sit down for a table, and the host is like, I'll be with you in just a moment. Hello, blah, 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 and take the phone call. And it's like, that phone call is to get a person to stand right here in front of me like I am right now. So maybe, like, put that one on hold, you know, just let me answer it, put it on hold, and then deal with the guests that are right in front of me at the time. But I feel the same way. Like, you reserve, what you're doing is you're just holding up your own tables. Like, then that person doesn't fulfill the reservation. They show up late, or they show up with more people than they expected. It's constant. It's always a pain in the butt. This is a crotchety old working in the restaurant industry for so long. But my perspective is like, no, people come in, but also I want the people that are there to, like, fill up the tables. And then as soon as they're gone, now we can put more people in the tables. And you're keeping your inventory full at all times, you know, rather than just potentially hoping that someone comes in at that 7:30 hour or whatever. And when you over reserve, you almost change your the turns that you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everybody's booked in at 7 o'clock, you've now ruined your restaurant for a one turn restaurant if you do it that way.
Yeah, and we're a small restaurant. We haven't mentioned that when folks hear old house, I don't want them to think big old house.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the entire house is 1,600 square feet, and 600 of those are upstairs where we don't seat guests. So we took the original 1,000 square feet downstairs, and that is our bar and dining area. We built an addition on the rear to house the kitchen and bathrooms.
Then you have some outdoor seating as well.
Half of our seats are outdoors.
Right.
That's high-risk seating, right? I mean, it's August right now.
Yeah.
You know, so turning and making sure those seats stay full is really important to us being able to sustain the business. And that's one of the reasons that we've chosen so far to go without reservations, the exact reason you just said.
Yeah, I think by doing it that way, you're showing a little bit more hospitality. You're like, I'm caring about the people that are right here, right now in front of me and making sure their experience is the best. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, there's many ways to go about it because, I mean, the other side of that is, well, people can't plan to go to your restaurant, right? Like, I mean, so it
if
has to be
a big group, then call ahead. If you get 12 people, that's nice for the heads up. But,
yeah,
you know.
But let's say, like, oh, I wanted to go to a Salamanders game in Holly Springs, which is a great thing to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, I can't plan on going to the Pimento Tea Room because if they can't seat me, I'm not saying that it's wrong or right. I'm just saying that's the other side of it. But more importantly, and sorry, feel free to weigh back in on that.
You're right. Right. We want to attract people. We want folks from Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill to come over, and they have so far. Obviously, most of the business is local, but
yeah. But the other part of that is then, yeah, the event is going to the Pimento Tea Room, so it's like becomes a destination.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, before we started getting into the three kids, you said you were at home with the three kids. But so, like, what Max said this kind of earlier, what made you feel confident that you could execute culinary expertise in a professional level in a restaurant? What gave you the confidence for that?
Oh, that's a great question.
Other than naivete?
Blind confidence sometimes is the best.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
after college, we got married, and I ended up going to Wake Tech to start their culinary program.
Oh, right.
Did not finish it because I was pregnant with Natalie, so I got through the first year. But I always really enjoyed it, and, you know, had...
So did I.
Like, you reap the benefits?
Yes. Yeah.
I've been to Wake Tech's, like, final that they do every year, like, the culinary side, and we get to go in and just eat everybody's food.
Yeah.
And just kind of be guinea pigs. I'm like, oh, yeah, twist my arm. I'm going to eat all of it. It's, like, the best day ever. It's the sprawl. They do a good job out there. Wake Tech culinary program is really awesome.
Yeah, they're legit. It was a good experience. And we had these kids, boom, boom, boom. And...
Yeah, you said 16, 14, and...
15.
14, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Get it done.
Yeah.
Get it out.
you guys look brand new over here. You haven't been in the business for a while, but you look relatively young. So, like, you had those kids quick and young.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think compared to today's averages, it was young. But, you know, we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we had the three kids that always enjoyed entertaining people. And, you know, like, that's the worst thing for somebody to tell you, you know, oh, you're good at dinner parties, you should open a restaurant.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Our youngest, Eve, was diagnosed with cancer when she was 2. We're really big supporters of Cure Search for Children's Cancer because pediatric cancer is ridiculously underfunded in this country.
Mm.
It's like 4% total. If it's a pie,
yeah,
it's 4% of the NIH budget is for kids, and that's for every type of childhood cancer. So you're talking about like fractions of pennies on the dollar. So severely underfunded. She had this like crazy rare disease that only like 20 kids a year get. Fortunately, thanks to previous fundraisers, they made research possible so she could get her life-saving treatment. And we were just, you know, from that moment on, like, that's what we were throwing everything at, was just childhood cancer research. So we would have these gigantic fundraisers, and I was essentially catering. Like, I would go to all the grocery stores and ask for donations, like, for ingredients. And we would host these large spreads for people and sell tickets or suggested donations
sure.
to come in and everything. And
And would you host these at a venue, or would it be at your
house?
Yeah,
like, our first one was in Holly Springs at Bombshell.
Mm.
Oh, no, that wasn't our very first one was in downtown Raleigh at our friend...
A friend's house, in Oakwood,
Jed
right?
Jed and Stacy Gant, they opened up their house because their kid, their son, was also a cancer survivor. Oh, we called it Victory Tacos.
Mm.
That was our first fundraiser because every time we would leave Duke, where Eve was treated... We would go through Taco Bell and have Victory Tacos.
And get Victory Tacos.
Because she had to have scans every 3 months for 5 years after mm-hmm. she was off treatment.
Sure.
So, you know. And I don't want anyone to think that Taco Bell is not good food, because Taco Bell is excellent food.
Oh, Max is a huge proponent. Taco it's Bell widely fan. Known that mm-hmm. that's his...
Yeah.
I love farm to table, and then I also love Taco Bell.
Like, you can like everything.
Yeah, right.
The best people are not food snobs. They just want
Supreme.
Good food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was a big
That's a huge emotional roller coaster that you both went down, your whole family went down. I'm sure with Eve being your youngest, the other two children as well, being so close in age, that must have just been a very challenging time. It's really good to know that she's
doing
well.
Great. Yeah. She's doing fantastic. So all that.
Yeah, that helped support why you could do these things. Like you were that by virtue of you just trying to support your child and what's going on, you were also learning a trade by actually hosting and building the framework of what you're now doing as a real business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also ties back into why we chose to be part of the growth of downtown Holly Springs. Our involvement with that community. Now, our address is Apex, North Carolina. It's one of those weird areas where the suburbs kind of run together.
Yeah.
So we're
for
really...
For anybody that's been out there, the borders are all crossing and mishmashing and
we identify as Holly Springs,
yeah,
I'll say.
That's how you identify.
But yeah, that community, from the way that they supported our family, our other children while Eve was sick and we were taking care of her, and the way they responded when we brought our second Victory Tacos fundraiser to Holly Springs, that's what Christy mentioned over at Bombshell Brewery. Shout out to Bombshell. widely successful event there. As I mentioned, the way the community supported and embraced us when we needed it was amazing. So it just so happens that about the time I got that email from Christy about let's start a restaurant, Holly Springs was planning its growth downtown. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Apex, Raleigh, what's a good place to do a restaurant. We really got interested in Holly Springs, especially knowing they were growing. There was a lot of new development planned down there, and we were actually in meetings with some of those new developers about leasing space to do a restaurant. And I tell people this all the time. We were literally leaving one of those meetings, driving back up Main Street, and the for sale sign was out in front of 200 North Main Street, which is where we are located. And we thought, well, we pulled in, called the number. The guy had a remote lock sensor. He let us in to walk around, and that's when we said, let's do this the longest, most difficult, most expensive way possible.
Yeah.
This was years ago. Everybody thinks that we just decided. 2016
or 2017.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't just decide to open a restaurant during a pandemic. This was like years in the making. Yeah. The whole development process, oh my Lord. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
That's crazy though. So so you took a house though. It's on Main Street, so I guess it's zoned. It could have been commercial or residential in this particular spot, but
yeah,
it was a home. It was a residential home essentially that
folks lived there until 1998 or 99. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was built in 1840, so yeah. It had lots of families living in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just as you mentioned, you built on, put the kitchen in the back, bathrooms in the back, but the structure itself is the house.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of like Chris Coleman did that with the Goodyear House out in Charlotte. If you go out there to that area in Noda, that kind of region. Oh, yeah. And they took an old house and just repurposed it, turned it into a restaurant, and it's like super cool, swanky, delicious food and all.
Similar to Michael Chong of Elements did it in downtown Cary with MC Restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
A similar thing. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that place? It's kind of a similar...
Right there on Academy Street?
Academy Street,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a really cool thing when you can turn a house into a commercial restaurant, but it still has that charm.
And it's good that you're doing things like this is the whole point of like what Kip and I are doing with Crafton is like let's go into these smaller towns and be the thing that people want to enjoy rather than feel that it need to always have to come to the big city or whatever. And like, you know, oh yeah, the only way you can get really good food is if you go downtown or so. It's like no, let's come to you type of thing. And Holly Springs has more than enough people and its neighboring areas to sustain, you know, enough revenue, let's just say, to be a good business. So it's nice that you're able to build a bespoke, unique business that's non-chain, that's family-owned and family-operated, definitely, into the community. So I applaud you for doing that, too. That's how you build and strengthen these small towns to turn into, like, viable places to grow.
It's a really cool thing happening in downtown Holly Springs right now, actually. There's, you know, just from a restaurant perspective, 2 years ago, there was one restaurant and one wine bar, I think. I apologize if I'm forgetting anybody. Now, you know, you can go spend the whole night down there.
Yeah.
Right? Within another few months, there's going to be 6 or 7 places to eat.
That's so
ice cream shops, of course, the brewery nearby. I mean, it's a cool district.
Sir Walter Coffee has a place down there.
Sir Walter opened a spot down there. And along with that comes a little nightlife too, right? Yeah. We've got our lounge at Pimento Tea Room, right? Those cocktails, we have wine and beer as well, have been really popular. And we think it's a really cool place to hang out. Folks sometimes will come have a couple drinks at our place, go eat somewhere else, or vice versa, show up, right? We want to get a little PTR after dark action going.
Yeah.
And we do have soft cocktails too for people who aren't drinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
Yeah. Max, we'll have to do like your 36 hours in Durham. We'll have to do a 36 hour episode of downtown Holly Springs. Yeah. You know?
Can we finish it as the Weiss speakeasy at your house? Pull the garage door open and you just start making cocktails?
Of course, but I don't think that'll be only if Bob Peters comes to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that'll be open for everybody.
Sarah's like, who are all these people?
Oh my, well, yeah.
Take your shoes off, everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, not in the garage. You can keep your shoes on in the garage. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make people hungry for a second. What's like, so if I come to the Pimento Tea Room, what's the like main thing that people are asking for? People, or, you know, they, it's in the regular rotation that they wanted to come back. You can each give an answer. Maybe you, or what's your favorite thing?
Yeah,
that
what's
you
your
cooked?
Big favorite dish?
So here's the most difficult part. Obviously, I get asked, what do you recommend? So I always start with, well, my wife's the chef, so I recommend everything.
Yeah.
But if you think about the way we do the menu, it's always specials, right? These three dinners are what you can get this week, and they're all fantastic. But, you know, if you prefer something heavier on the meat-based protein, we've got this dish, right? The fried chicken or the pork chop. If you want something completely vegetarian or even vegan, right? Here's the option for you, right? We've always got those options available, even with a small menu. We've got staples, though. And one thing that's been wildly popular since we first opened is Christie's Brunswick Stew. Ooh. And I call it Christie's because the first day we were there, we were selling, I'm like, man, this Brunswick Stew is really good. She's like, it's the recipe I've been working on for 2.5 years, Matt. Don't you recognize it? So now I always have the pleasure of telling people it's an old family recipe. It's 2.5 years old, yeah, but she has perfected it.
It's an old family recipe.
And we get folks that say, you know, I grew up in Brunswick County, or, you know, we've eaten Brunswick stew our whole life. This is outstanding. So,
oh, my God, I didn't even realize that Brunswick County, that's here in North Carolina, and that's where it comes from?
Yeah, yes. I had no idea.
How did I not know that?
Because my, like, being a northerner, people say Brunswick stew, and it's just like, well, it's everything you got left over. You just throw in, yeah, and kind of make it
the
work.
The word Brunswick feel it was like a regional, like, obviously, if you think about it, it had to come
makes
from
sense,
somewhere,
yeah.
But it came from here. It's a North Carolina thing. I mean, it must, I guess.
We're guessing.
Do you put squirrel in your Brunswick stew?
No, it's squirrel free.
what's in it?
Yeah, what do you put in it?
Chicken. Limas, green beans, tomatoes, corn, you know.
Yeah.
Touch of sass. And it gets topped with a scoop of corn pudding.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, it's not what's in it. It's how it's prepared that is the secret.
The sass.
Fortunately, it's very
good.
That's right.
You can't predict how much of it you're going to go through. It used to be we could make it in like a giant batch, you know, once a week or so. We make really, really big batches of it. I've made it 3 times this week. It's like 100 degrees outside.
And people are still.
That's how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What's the pro tip for somebody to come in and like, okay, now they hear this episode and like, okay, I want to come. Like, when should they come? And, you know, because I'm assuming, although it's weird now. We live in a weird world where schedules are not rote or predictable. So typically in, like, do you have an idea of busy times? I want to come. I want to spend the night. Like, when should I come to the Pimento Tea Room?
Come when you're hungry.
That's always a good way. I'm hungry and then there's a line, then I'm going to be angry.
Well, one good thing is you can take advantage of that bar while you're waiting, right?
Okay.
Everybody orders beverages if they have to wait for a table. Hang out on the front porch. Again, it's an old front porch right on Main Street. Part of the house is set up as a lounge. You can hang out there, drink to your heart's content, strong and soft cocktails, while you're waiting for a table. So
yeah, and maybe get a little one of those snack plates that we had when we were tasting wine with the chickpea hummus and all those pickled vegetables. Black-eyed pea hummus. That was pretty special.
Those snacks, you know, one of the things we didn't get into, but part of the inspiration for this style of restaurant is just the way that Christy and I like to eat. I think one of you guys mentioned it earlier. You used to come to Raleigh, right, for the food scene. And we wouldn't just pick a restaurant. We would come up here and pick, like, what 4 or 5 places are we going to hit tonight? And go have a small bit at each place, get a drink at each place. And we love to eat that way, right? Almost tapas style. In fact, we used to refer to Pimento Tea Room as a Southern tapas restaurant.
Traditional English tea service is essentially like fancy tapas.
Right.
I mean, you're sharing food with people, small bites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sharing food, small bites, variety, so that, you know, of course, the sandwiches, the savories, all of our sweets are those small bites that you can share. But the snacks that you mentioned, you know, get some black-eyed pea hummus, of course, the pimento cheese, some dips. The collard greens dip is always on, and that's a hit as well. One of my favorite things to hear from guests is, you know, I don't like collards, but this is delicious.
And I don't know why people order it if they don't like collards. It always blows my mind. They're like, I hate collards. I love this. And I'm like, I'm so glad you love it, but what made you order it?
Yeah.
Well, your wife probably ordered it, or their husband.
Kids,
yeah,
that are working the front of the house that are saying you got to try the collard dip.
Yeah, it's like,
well,
good.
They look like they know what they're talking about. So
yeah,
I trust. And by the way, shout out to the rest of our staff. Right, we do have a really, really great staff that helps.
Yeah, we love our staff
to produce the food.
You're here
and
now.
To serve it.
Aren't you guys open for business right now?
Oh no, Monday is prep day.
Oh yeah, I keep thinking today's Tuesday because we always record on Tuesdays, but today's a Monday. That's
so
right.
That staff is in there prepping food for the week in the kitchen right now.
Like after this, Matt and I will go to the farmer's market and get what we need from there. That's part of a blessing of changing the menu because, you know, if you get a shipment of something and it doesn't look good, you don't have to serve it. You can change the menu whenever you want.
Right.
As poor Matt has to do all the time. I'll be like, we ran out of this. Change this.
Yeah.
Do you have a physical printed menu?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not just digital. Yeah. By the way, to all restaurateurs, I know with the pandemic and all that stuff, a lot of people are going all digital. Print out some menus. That's a nice touch, too. Like, a lot of people just want it in their phone. That's fine. But a lot of people want to hold on to a menu.
Right. You can do both.
I'm included. Yeah. But, like, I think everyone should do both. Not just, oh, sorry, our menu is 100% on to the digital now.
Yeah, that's right. We offer both for sure. And like Christy said, it changes. So I head up to the computer, type it up, print off another 30 copies, carry them back downstairs.
Yeah.
We go through a lot of paper. And apparently the only place you can get the paper that I need for our menus, which is legal size, is the Staples in Fuquay Arena, and they keep one case in stock at a time. I think I'm the only person in Southwest Wake County buying that paper.
They need to up their stock then, just for you.
If only there was like a company that could deliver paper to your restaurant every day through a
Dunder Mifflin. I see the need.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is great.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you got over here?
Well, this has been great. I just want to let you guys know that also, as you know, another great business in Holly Springs is the Triangle Wine Company is one of their locations on the little bit on the other side of Holly Springs, but they have four locations in Southern Pines. They're in North Raleigh, they're in Cary, and of course Holly Springs. Great for all your wine, vermouth, beer needs. Go to trianglewineco.com. Don't forget to use the NCFB promo code. And also, you are an ice cream maker, plus you have cocktails. Well, Proof Alcohol Ice Cream has brought these two beautiful things together. They have infused ice cream because they think differently about dessert. So before you guys leave, you're going to go home with a pint of Proof Alcohol Ice Cream, which is 7% alcohol. So
totally
you guys
worth
on your day
it.
Off,
awesome.
It's going to be great and you'll enjoy that. And then before we get out here, one more time, because as you guys know, and one of the points we connected on is I had a brother that passed from pediatric cancer from Burkitt's lymphoma. And to keep this alive and to keep your cause going for the research, can you shout out whatever organization that was or where people can go to help their cause or if other children have this, parents are dealing with the same thing?
We support Cure Search for Children's Cancer.
Cure Search for Children's Cancer. So we'll put that on the show notes.
CureSearch.org. You can find a bunch of info in there. And hopefully coming soon, we'll be able to announce that we are going to be partnering with Roundup America, where guests can round up on their check and all proceeds will go to Cure Search as well.
Oh, cool.
We're just finalizing that contract.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
And if there's any way to throw it in, one of the things that Christy often says is, you hear this all the time, but when you're being raised, use your gifts and talents to make the world a better place, right? Prior to us having this restaurant, she spent an enormous amount of time focused on different ways to fundraise and support families going through difficulties of childhood cancer. And now that we have this restaurant, that's where all our time goes, but she has all the talent available. And so we want to use this business to help support that cause, right? So even more than just Roundup America, we got some other things we're working on where we want to make sure our business is able to give and support.
That's amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's great. Well, thanks. Thank you guys so much for coming in. For everybody out there, go to downtown Holly Springs. Go to the Pimento Tea Room. You will eat and drink extremely merrily.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.